With a special edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Senator John McCain, a war hero who rose to the top of the Republican Party, died Saturday at his home in Sedona, Arizona, at the age of 81. McCain's death came a day after his family announced that he decided to discontinue treatment for a brain tumor, an aggressive cancer first diagnosed in July of 2017. Joining us now from Washington to talk about McCain's life and legacy is Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, as you write in your piece for the Wall Street Journal, McCain's life was in many ways a life that defied the odds, and there are elements certainly here that have become legendary. He came from a Navy family and during the Vietnam War was captured and spent 5.5 years in prison, undergoing torture in conditions most of us cannot imagine. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and how it came to shape his views and his life?
That experience was one of the defining experiences of his life. It taught him how to rely on other people. He was confined in solitary confinement, and so the way prisoners would communicate with each other was through, they had a special code they were tapping along the walls. It taught him a lot of moral fortitude. The North Vietnamese knew that his father was a very prominent admiral, and they tried to coax him into early release, and McCain refused because he was convinced that it would have been terrible for morale if someone who was shot down last or latest had ended up getting out earlier and cutting in line. It also taught him a lot about torture and the reasons why torture might not be a good idea, and that was a theme that would come up again and again, particularly after September 11th.
And of course, he very vocally opposed torture and the practice of waterboarding. When McCain was freed in 1973, soon after returning to the U.S., he began his life in Congress, winning a House seat, and in 1986, winning the Senate seat vacated by Barry Goldwater. He had some political setbacks, too, though, including his involvement in the Keating Five. Can you tell us about that experience and how it came to shape his politics thereafter?
That experience, to me, is when he starts seriously thinking about the role of money in politics. Charles Keating was a very prominent banker, and John McCain, among other senators, had intervened on behalf of Mr. Keating with federal banking regulators. And it turned out that that perhaps was not such a great idea because Mr. Keating's banking business wasn't stable. It went belly up. It ended up costing the government several billion dollars. Although Mr. Keating was reprimanded for showing poor judgment, he didn't suffer the punishment that some of the other senators had, but it left him filled with enormous shame. And it was something that if he even thought about it for a moment, he could be taken back instantly to that second where he felt he had really let the public down. And so what you see later on is him mount a very strong effort in favor of campaign finance reform, trying to really think hard about the role of money in politics.
Getting to another milestone in his life, by 2000, he had launched a bid for the GOP presidential nomination. And this is where we also see his willingness to challenge the ideas of his own party. That bid was ultimately unsuccessful, but in a way set him up for the next time around in 2008 when he challenged Barack Obama. And there are moments during this campaign that people point to as emblematic of McCain's character, particularly in those cases where he defended Obama, his opponent, against false claims that Obama was a Muslim and not born in the United States.
So there are really two separate campaigns we're talking about here. One is in 2000 when he was absolutely the underdog. He rode around in a bus called the Straight Talk Express. He took hour after hour of questions from reporters and really cast himself as an authentic, open, tell it like it is, different type of candidate. Later on in 2008, he ran what a lot of people considered to be a much more conventional campaign, but there were moments when he really was swimming against the tide. And one of those was when there's a particular video that encapsulates what people mean when they talk about this campaign. Someone said that they thought Barack Obama was a Muslim. And John McCain, in front of the cameras, looks at her and says, "No, ma'am, no, ma'am. He's just someone who happens to have different views than I have, but he's not a Muslim." And that was just a huge act because it really stood against what a lot of people in the Republican Party felt. And even if it cost him the election, that was the position John McCain was going to take.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes about Senator John McCain, who died Saturday at the age of 81. More coming up in just a moment. Siobhan, another admirable trait many point to in talking about John McCain, whether they're Republicans or not, is his willingness to admit mistakes. And that's something he's done publicly several times over the course of his career.
This is a guy who's honest with himself and frequently honest with the public. So one of those was when he was coaxed into making a false confession when he was in North Vietnam. It was something he felt terrible about. He was very honest about his failings when it came to the Keating Five scandal, that banking intervention we talked about. He was also, to a degree, honest about his personal life. His first marriage had failed. When he got home from the war, he was changed. His first wife was changed. She'd been in a horrible accident that left her unable to walk, and the marriage came apart. He apologized for that and blamed himself for that. He also could be open about some of the hand-wringing that he experienced when it came to the Iraq War. He had voted in favor of the Iraq War, which, as we all know, was entered into based on faulty information. He had a sense that in supporting the military, which he did very strongly, it did put soldiers' lives at risk. So there were a lot of instances in which you could see him sort of mentally hanging his head and realizing he hadn't lived up to his own standards, although that's certainly what he was aiming for.
Siobhan, I want to talk about one of the last votes McCain made as a senator, and this was after returning to the Senate against his doctor's advice, and it was to cast a no vote against Republican efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. I'm curious, for those who cover Washington politics, what was that moment like to see a Republican buck his own party like that?
This was an absolutely defining moment, and you could literally feel the electricity in the air from the moment he walked into the Senate floor when he refused to say how he was going to vote, to watching him stand in a cluster with Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski as the entire Republican Party looked his way, wondering if he was going to bring down one of their signature goals. And then that thumbs down, that iconic thumbs down, as Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell crossed his arms and frowned at him, was just a remarkable and defining moment in the Senate.
And that willingness to defy his own party certainly caught the attention of President Donald Trump, who McCain vocally disagreed with on more than one occasion.
Absolutely. Donald Trump has been very tough on Senator McCain, and Senator McCain gave it right back. He was not cowed by Donald Trump, which is something very different from how a lot of other Republicans handled the president. Other Republicans would go quiet. Other Republicans have made excuses for Donald Trump. John McCain was having absolutely none of that, and he used many, many opportunities to come back at Donald Trump, to accuse him of things like spurious, half-baked nationalism, and to really stand up for the values of a particular wing of the Republican Party.
Siobhan, as we remember Senator John McCain, what have you been hearing from colleagues, fellow lawmakers on the Hill about his legacy?
First of all, lawmakers are absolutely crushed. What people feel is that John McCain was one of a kind, that his absence leaves a huge void in the Senate, partly because of his moral fortitude and his toughness, partly because he was so much fun. He had an incredible sense of humor. He risked a joke in an environment in which a lot of people are terrified to make jokes because they're afraid of the political consequences. And so it's a loss for his colleagues on so many levels.
McCain was also asked a few times how he'd like to be remembered, and I find it so interesting that he chose two people from opposite ends of the political spectrum to deliver his eulogies, his one-time opponent, former President Barack Obama, and former President George W. Bush, in a way making a statement about reaching across the aisle, even in death.
Absolutely. He was making a statement about bipartisanship, and it's worth noting that that was the subject of really his final major speech on the Senate floor. He said, we have to work together. We have to learn to trust each other. We're not getting anything done, and we have to get back to who we are as a country. And I think that you're right. His selection of both Mr. Obama and Mr. Bush is really quite a statement.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes joining us via Skype from Washington to talk about the life and legacy of Senator John McCain, who died on Saturday. Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for a special edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York.